Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big-eared blogger. And if the creek don't rise, there's going to be a stadium, a new football stadium on East Capitol Street in about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Good morning, B.
What up, bro?
How you doing?
I am chilling like a villain on an island.
I don't get the island part, but that's great.
I mean, you got away. You went to island, so you don't get caught up in the stuff you were doing before.
Okay. Now I get it. busy day today. Our friend Barstool Nate's going to join us. Our friend Thor Nystrom's going to join us. I do think today we'll kind of circle back to some draft stuff from over the weekend. Washington made 5 picks, 5 new players. I got to talk to Jalen Lane, the receiver this morning, B. Mm-hmm. Really impressive young man.
Like they do.
At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Mark Seagraves from NBC4, who's been all over the Commanders' deal with the district to get back to RFK Stadium. obviously, now the hurdle becomes the city council, and local politicians are going to do what local politicians do.
Well, they do it. All politicians do.
Right.
Peacock.
Everybody wants their piece of the pie, right? Or their back scratched, whatever needs to happen.
Really? What you just said, right? The piece of the pie.
Yeah. We'll talk to Seagraves about kind of what happens next. We need to have a little baseball conversation. When we wanted to have the baseball conversation was prior to what was a pretty tough L yesterday. Are you aware of what the score was in the Nats game yesterday, B?
No.
Yes.
Well, since you're talking like that, did someone score 16 points on us? Runs?
19-5.
Oof.
The Mets scored 19 runs yesterday.
That's horrible.
This is bad.
Isn't that White Bryant's team?
That is White Bryant's team.
He walked out when you started talking about it.
Good. Now, the Nats are still playing better baseball than certainly the way they started the season, but yesterday's stuff, whatever. We're going to catch up on some baseball with Toby. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Yesterday, I got to have a conversation with Josh Harris. You're going to hear that. Some really interesting stuff talking with Josh. It's also just remarkable. I don't know that we've kind of explained this enough, B.
Uh-huh.
Two things. We're going to give away Caps tickets here in about 15 minutes, so get ready, all right? I don't think it is discussed enough. Josh Harris and his partners had to come up with $6 billion. Yeah. That was the most vetted deal in NFL history.
Yeah.
And there were certain people, there's owners of other teams decided to really nitpick this deal. They made it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy selling the team made it very difficult.
And tried to make it worse at the end.
Right. None of this was easy. Everything went down to the wire. And they were able to get that done.
Yeah.
They were able to get the cash, get it done.
6.05.
Yo, it's not even 2 years later.
Uh-huh.
It is. That was July of 23. It's April of 25. So that's what, 22 months?
Yeah.
21 months? And these dudes are coming up with another $2.5, $3 billion.
Yeah, but, you know, I think this was discussed when they all came together.
Sure.
And I think as you go through the worth, net worth of all the people, they got it. Just that they have to figure out if they wanted to do it. And I think when they purchased this team, they understand the value of it. And you also know when you get a new stadium, the value, it shoots up even more. So I truly believe that they're in a position, like this is basically what their plan was. We're going to have to build a new stadium. We buy this team. So this is what the team going to cost. They probably came out and said, listen, man, all in probably $9 billion is what we're going to have to do.
Right. Like, I don't know that there's any surprises. Right?
No.
But still,
it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it's a commitment on a level. You know, Harris made his fortune on Wall Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these Wall Street dudes, they're not looking for a slow burn, B. They get deals done, and they make a ton of cash,
mm-hmm.
and it's a trade, right? Like, they figure something out, act on it, make a boatload of cash right away.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's not what RFK is. That's not to suggest that RFK is not going to make them money. That's a slow burn over there.
Well, it's not necessarily a slow burn, Jay. It's like you can't build it in a day.
Right.
So they know the amount of time it's going to take to be built. But once that thing, and some of the other things around it may be built before 2030.
Sure, but like to recoup that level of investment mm-hmm. before they start making money on it, it's going to take a while. It's not an overnight thing, dude. And no matter how many Bud Lights get sold at the bar next to the arena, like it's still going to take a while. And to me, it just shows that this is about far more than an investment and getting return on that investment. This is about doing right by the city, the DMV, the community.
If you are involved with this football team, that stadium is a necessity, not necessarily just an investment. I think ultimately, you know, about time this stadium is built, they will have 2-3 years of stuff lined up, knowing what's going to be coming and how they're going to start recouping their money. You know, I think guys like Josh and Mitchell, they have been too successful too long to sit there and be in a position where, you know, they get it, then they got to figure it out. They already got it figured out. They know where they're going.
These guys don't mess around.
Yeah.
There have been no accidents in this entire process. Seagraves will let us know, because I know last night I was on Channel 4 for a while, and I feel it's funny what my role is there and then what other people's roles are.
Uh-huh.
Like, my role is to report on the football side of what it means to get back to RFK.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from the football side, it is super dope. And, you know, but then, like, there are other reporters. Like, we have lots of different viewers, right?
Yep.
So, you know, Seagraves has to talk to what the politicians are going to do. And then this dude, Ted, investigates where the money's going to come from. And then Tracy's wondering what happens to Prince George's County. Like, there are a lot of other angles. And then they're like, what about you, JP? I'm like, this is dope.
You know, but I think they get excited about the information that they're going in. That's their
sure,
football.
Right.
You know, your what you're looking at seems to be just fun. And it seems like it's fun for you, but the people that go into that reporting about money, economy, other people going in about all the other stuff, that's their football. They get excited by that stuff,
totally.
Which I can't understand, but okay, they do.
Right. I'm glad it works for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's just, it is interesting because there's clearly a lot to consider. And what I try to explain from a football perspective is that, like, you know, by the time this thing gets built, most of this team won't be there. Like, that's just the reality of the life cycle of the timeline of in the NFL. I mean, these teams kind of turn over, I don't know, 30%, 40% every season. But there is a guy that I think will be there, B. And I just, somebody asked me this question.
How many years is it from now? 25 to 30 is what?
Five.
Come so on, who wears number five?
I know.
I was doing that purposely. I know the damn numbers, Jay. It's part of my little plan.
So in 5 years.
In Jaden's years.
Jaden will be 29, which is the absolute prime of your career.
Yeah, and that's quarterbacks are different than all the other
players. Right. Jaden will be 29 years old and 2 years into a contract extension that makes him the highest paid player in the NFL.
Probably so.
Now, you know how it goes in the NFL. Like, whoever gets that designation, highest paid player, somebody resets it either the following year.
It lasts about a year or two.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's going to have it at some point.
Yeah, at least get that that trophy.
Well, dude.
You know what I mean?
Think about that draft class. Bo Nix looks pretty damn good. I thought Mike Penix, now it was a short sample, but I thought he looked pretty good. There are people in Chicago that will tell you that Caleb looked really good. Yeah. There are people in New England that will tell you that Drake May looked really good. That could be a lot of dudes getting paid.
Oh, yeah. Because
the window opens for all of them on the same day.
It does.
You know, I got to get, you know Scott McBrien, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he gave me his quarterback rankings of who he thought would do best based on the situation they got drafted into.
Was he right?
Yes. He had Jaden and then Nix, which was pretty surprising. He was not high on Caleb. I'm curious what he thinks this year.
He has to get better on schedule or he's going to always have that little issue.
Everybody's convinced it's just going to be great with the first-time head coach, play caller.
Not necessarily, because as a quarterback, you get stuck in the way you do things. You know what I mean? And that coach has to be able to say, look, man, when that back foot hit, ball comes out. And you might have to tell him in preseason that in camp, I don't care if you throw interceptions. Let it go. Eventually, you figure it out. But if you do everything, you drop back, you set, you start the run, your receiver's going to get a little upset, and the timing is going to be off on everything. And you put more pressure on yourself. So I think if he ever gets that throwing things on schedule, he's going to be special, man. Because he has a strong enough arm.
He's got
and he's athletic
it.
Enough.
Yeah. And he has a knack for plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has a knack for big plays, which is, I think some quarterbacks have that innate ability or they don't. I had somebody ask me this, though. Like, if last year was year two of Sam Howell and they went 7-10, you think RFK is happening?
I think RFK is going to happen because the new ownership came in.
Yeah.
I think that it seems a lot more festive because you have a quarterback and the other stuff. But I think the business aspect of that is going forward, no matter who the quarterback is.
I tend to agree with you, B. Okay. Caps play game 5 tomorrow night, April 30th, 7 o'clock. B's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Chance to close this thing out. I'd prefer if they just close this thing out. I think Carolina's going to close out their series, and I don't think you really want to have your opponent with fresher legs than you.
Mm-hmm.
I would love, and this could be an enterprising listener. This could be why Brian left. I mean, why Brian been hanging out with Jeff too much? He's just starting to leave. He's starting to leave during work. Jeff is here. Jeff and or Landfill, if you guys want to figure this out, I can't get an answer on this.
On what?
If I think the Canes play tonight. If the Canes and the Caps both clinch, do they start playing right away, or do they have to wait for all the other series?
Don't they have the timing of the different series popped up?
I try to find it. I can't. I don't know, Brian.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think they'll start immediately. I really don't.
Well, that sucks. I don't know. The whole Western Conference is at least 2-2. The whole Eastern Conference is 3-1. Does the East have to wait for the West? I'm telling you, you can't find it. It's a ghost.
It may be.
At least.
Or they may be able to just, as it goes.
In my very brief cursory search. There was one ball game I needed to point out. Listen, the Nats took a rough loss yesterday. That said, they had an incredible come-from-behind win on Sunday. They're fine on the season. I ain't mad at the Nets. Yesterday was kind of embarrassing, but is what it is. There was a game that was played last night, Brian. Lakers in the Heat.
No.
The result of this series, and particularly this game, game four, should lead to the direct abolition of the play-in tournament. Miami was so outclassed in this game. It was a freaking
You didn't
joke.
Have to wait that long to figure that out, Jay. When they're making them
play a four-game
series.
When
the other team lost 131-80, that's when you should have figured out the play-in shouldn't be there. They lost by the first game. They lost by 51 points. What was it on Memphis from Oklahoma City? They lost by 51 points. If you lose by 51 points in the playoffs, you should not be in the playoffs.
Well, sir, may I present to you a 55-point loss?
They shouldn't be in the playoffs,
dude. 138-83 was the final, and perhaps more importantly, you know how I like to find the exact low point. The lowest point of the Ron Rivera era was when they were down 27-3 to the Bears at halftime on Thursday night at home, I add. Okay? Do you know what the score was last night at halftime of this game?
What was it?
72-33.
Bro, hold on.
An NBA team scored 33.
They were swept.
Yes.
See, but that is a lot of people's fault because everyone talking about, oh, they want more, they want more. You know what? You need to let these teams know you don't want more. Like, now, listen, we have
the only people that want more of that, the only people that want that product, the play-in and all that nonsense, are the owners because it's more money.
Well, fans need to let them know. If teams are going to be losing, the NBA should be embarrassed right now because they had two teams lose by over 50 points in a damn playoff. When you lose, when it's that lopsided, then that just told you that other team does not belong.
Abolish the play-in. Just get rid of it. Like, people get confused about being an NBA hater. I am in no way an NBA hater. I love the NBA. When the games are good, I love it.
Right? But, like in what the Warriors are doing to the Rockets
sure.
right now.
I stayed up way too late.
Stupid-ass Dylan Brooks.
Dude, that guy's such a loser. I stayed up way too late last night watching basketball. Like, I love the NBA. But what
tried to watch it till the eyes got heavy.
What the NBA does is have far too much bad product out there. You don't need to expand like the in-season tournament. Get out of here.
Yeah, that is unnecessary.
Have good basketball.
The
play-in tournament is awful.
Do you think in 20 years we're going to be discussing the midway champions?
No.
Yeah, man, the Lakers won that one in the middle of the year. Remember that?
The Cavaliers scored 33 points in a half. I'm sorry, the Heat, rather, scored 33 points in a half.
That's horrible.
Of playoff basketball.
That's horrible.
God awful. But Rockets Warriors was dope. Here is what is really cool. We are giving away Caps Game 5 tickets today, every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. You got a lot of chances to win, including right now. Be caller 9 to 800-636-1067, and you win a pair of tickets to Game 5 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Wednesday, April 30th, against Montreal at Cap One Arena. That's tomorrow night, folks, 7 o'clock. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Listen at 11:20 for another chance to win. Caller number 9, 800-636-1067. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We just gave away tickets to my guy, Lewis, in La Plata. Lou, you fired up
What's
for the Caps game, man?
Yo, I can't freaking believe it, bro. This is my team, bro.
That's awesome, man. Who are you going to take with you?
Shoot, man. I don't know. I might got to take a lady friend. I don't know, man. I might even take my grandma, bro. She loves the Caps.
Man, so that's what you should do, man. Take your grandma, man.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
You know what I'm saying, bro? Yeah. Like, come on. When's the last time we've been this far? I think, like, 2018, right?
Dude, they haven't won a playoff series since they won the Cup.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Right?
It's kind of crazy, but that's the truth.
It is.
Take your grandma, dude. Have fun.
Enjoy yourself, brother.
Hey. We want to see history repeat itself.
Hey, Lou, let me ask you something while you're here. I assume you're a Commanders fan?
Come on, bro.
All right. So I got to talk to Josh Harris yesterday, and he talked about four moments that have really made an impact on him since he bought the team. The day he actually bought the team, yesterday's announcement of RFK, the Hail Mary, and the Detroit win. How would you rank those moments?
How would I rank all of those moments? Yeah. I would say the pinnacle moments, man, because if you look at the franchise and how much we've made changes amongst from the top to the bottom, from our coach to our quarterback, I feel like it's just the formula for winning, man. I feel like we're on our way to something beautiful.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. Congratulations. Have fun at the game.
Appreciate the love, guys.
All right, man.
All right, take care. That's our guy, Lewis in La Plata. All right, Jeffrey, open these phone lines up.
Let's go, Jeff.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I tweeted this out. So Josh Harris said he couldn't rank them. Me and B-Mitch can. To me, nothing happens without the sale. And then RFK, like a new stadium, that's a 30-year announcement. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I recognize the Detroit win is also a big deal to win a division round game on the road. But still, man, not a stadium announcement. And dude, if the announcement ended up being, yo, we're staying in Landover, Detroit might have been higher than that. But it's not. It's going back to RFK. And the Hail Mary was great, but it was such a one-off fluke that's fourth for me. I don't think it's all that close. Now, others, I tweeted this out, and the way the world, people got opinions.
People always got opinions.
I'm pretty surprised.
They're like,
by
they
this.
Got other stuff.
I also think this matters by age in a lot of ways. But of my tweet, of the four things, two of them are almost exactly tied for the lead, B. Guess what they are?
Of the four things, two, the Hail Mary and Detroit.
No.
Not really?
So the as of right now, this has
I was going with the young people mindset, because they're the ones that goes on all this stuff all the time.
So this has about 2,000 votes, so a decent sample size. 37.7% of the votes are for the sale of the team. That's what you and I said should be at the top of the
course,
list.
Of course, yes.
But then 37% said the win over Detroit.
Mm.
And so 20% are saying the Hail Mary, and only 5% of people voting are saying RFK.
Yeah, because most of the people were not born probably when they last played there. Get these
phones. We're going to open the phone lines up. You guys let us know how you feel. 800-636-1067. The Hail Mary was awesome, but it's a one game. It wasn't even a playoff game. To me, that's an easy fourth. But the immediate emotion of it was obviously huge. Landfill, what's your list like? I mean, the sale's got to be number one to you, because there was a period of time you were a lifelong Eagles fan because you were so sick of Dan Snyder.
Yeah, the sale's definitely number one. I don't think that anything other than maybe a Super Bowl could top that, but I'm going to be honest, I don't even know that a Super Bowl would top the sale. The sale was amazing. Number two, I'm going to have to put the win against Detroit. That was an actual on-the-field success, a road playoff win, getting to the divisional or getting to the championship game, the conference championship game for the first time in like 30-something years. That was another one of those things that I just didn't think I would see. And then third, I'm actually going to go with the Hail Mary. It was an awesome play. It was fantastic. It also completely broke the brains of Bears fans, and watching them lose their minds slowly over the last few months has been fantastic and just given me more and more entertainment. And then I am going to put the stadium announcement forth. It's neat, but I don't really care that much.
Stadium is last for you.
Yeah.
He ain't going to go any damn way.
Did you ever go to RFK?
For Nats games.
Okay, but you never went to a Skins game there?
No.
See, I think the RFK thing matters a lot more if you went to Redskins games at RFK Stadium. I think if you went for Nats games or DC United. Now,
and I don't think you have to be a young guy. I mean, an old guy. You could be a young guy who went with your parents like you were.
Right, but I think to young people, I'm old, B. Like to Jeff, I'm old. To a 25-year-old,
who,
I'm old.
But who cares?
I'm just saying.
Some of them young people look like they're older than you, so what the hell cares?
Let's hit these phones. Let's start with our boy Los in Severna Park. Los, how do you rank the most?
What's up, guys? Honestly, I rank the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. There's video of me on the Commanders Facebook page of me screaming up and down along with a lot of the other fans there. So that's number one for me because I can't remember the last time I screamed that loud. And I can't remember the other two, but last, it's the RFK Stadium. I mean, it's great news. I'm 33 years old. I've only been at RFK Stadium for DC United games. I've always sat in the section where we, you know, they bounce the stands and all that. But, like, you know, RFK Stadium is great, but they keep saying that it's not going to be this – don't expect the same experience that you had back in the 80s and, you know, the early 90s. So it's like, cool, the news is great, but, like, I just don't want to be – I just don't want it to be a disappointment for,
so
like,
imagine you know, a question, though. So if they're winning, you're going to have – that's the experience you're going to be getting. What experience are you talking about?
Well, no, like, you know, the experience that, like, people were just like, oh, bring it back to RFK like how it was in the old days and all that. I'm like, I get it. I wish I lived in a time where I could have experienced that. But, like, you know, they say that there isn't going to be any as big tailgating opportunities.
They said yesterday there will be tailgating.
There will be some. But so I think there's a lot of factors at play, right? I think if you never experienced RFK, it's going to be hard for it to matter the same way it does to other people. And that's okay. I think for the people that didn't have the RFK experience, I think your excitement should just be, yo, they're building a dope brand new stadium at a really cool location that'll have waterfront access. Like that to me is how this should feel for you. I'm not telling anybody.
I can't wait. It's like the wharf. You know what I mean, it's like the Navy Yard. You know, I'm an O's fan, but when I go to the Navy Yard, I'm like, damn, I wish Camden Yards had something like this, and I hope that RFK Stadium is just like that, to where they have bars, restaurants, yeah, everywhere.
So for you, it's just I think the tailgating thing specifically is a factor for a lot of people, and I understand that. Tailgating's great. I totally get it. But I think we've become so ingrained on tailgating specifically at FedEx Northwest Stadium because there's no other option. There's nothing else to do over there. You totally drive exactly there and you tailgate.
Exactly. Like, that's why you worry about tailgating, because you can't just walk into a bar.
Right. There's going to be I really think in 5-6 years when this joint opens, I think 60% of the stadium is just going to take ride share. Like, I think things will just be so different, and we're looking at it through the prism of what we currently know with FedEx, but this is going to be a different vibe, and they're still going to make sure they have tailgating for the tailgaters.
One last thing, as long as they add the bouncing, you know, section where, you know, they were just yelling, "We want Dallas," and the whole section bounces, you know, up that and section down, was, and like that, I'm all for it.
That section was actually extra where they would roll it in because once they moved the stuff.
Yeah, dude, that section
that wasn't the main part of the stadium.
Temporary seating.
Temporary seating for the baseball.
Yeah.
So that one thing that I've had a lot of people bring up to me, like, oh, man, I want to be sure that the seats still bounce.
Those seats were bouncing? Because the team was winning.
Right.
That's the most important thing. It ain't about the stadium. It's about who, if the team is winning, it's all that matters.
Dude, do you know what made last year so special at Northwest?
They were winning.
It wasn't the improvements. It wasn't the DJ Premonition sounded way better, right? But the audio system, it was the wins. You know the last time that place bumped like that? 2012, because they won. Some of the mystique and everything, if you didn't get to experience RFK back then, this is not going to look the same. It's just going to be a dope stadium on the water in DC.
It's going to look way better.
Let's spread this around a little. Brandon is in Walkersville. What's up, Brandon? How do you rank them?
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
We're great, buddy.
Hey, first of all, I just want a quick shout-out to B. Last season, you took your time to give my son a picture with you, and that made his day. I really appreciate that.
Appreciate
I love you guys.
Buddy.
Thank you, B.
No problem.
All right, so my ranking, obviously, number one has to be the sale of the team, obviously, because that's what started everything. And then the Detroit game, getting to the NFC Championship for the first time in, what, like 30-some years? That was amazing. Bears game, third, and, of course, RFK, number four. But I would like to add a little tidbit. I really hope in the future we can add to this and say that hopefully Gabe Taylor makes the team. I would love to see what these defensive coaches could do with the kid if he makes the team, man. I really, really hope we can see that in the future.
Yo, can I say something specific to Gabe Taylor? I think it's a cool story. You want the best players on the team, man. And
exactly.
I don't think we need to get too caught up in this thing. It's a great story. He'll be there next week. But I don't want this to like become a sideshow that I think is
it will.
Well, no, I agree. If the talent's not there, I agree. But if our coaches can mold him into something and he can improve and do well, I just hope that for him. I would love to see him make the team. Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Brandon.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate you, buddy. We got to take a quick break. We're taking all these calls. Next, Thor Nystrom joining us at noon, talking to Mark Seagraves about the likelihood of RFK passing at 1. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're east. I think east, right? We're in Forestville, Maryland, I believe.
Yeah, looking at a Cowboy fan.
Yeah, too many of them. That dude's got a T-shirt on.
No. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about Donnie. Donnie already changed over to the Commanders.
Smart man.
My man last year, he and I had a discussion all year. He walked up and said, "You were right. You told me."
He's got there is a Cowboys shirt present. We are out at the T-Stats Rude Company Barbecue, right? Like, I know there's barbecue, and I know this is the company.
Employee appreciation.
Okay, employee appreciation.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, what we appreciate right now, the biggest news in D.C., the Caps, baby. You were at the game last night.
Yes.
I was there early on. That arena was buzzing.
Bruh.
And Ovi set the tone right away. That first goal was just a thing of beauty. And Ovechkin from the office on a power play, book it.
Unbelievable, man. When he shot that thing, I was like, oh, my Lord. And I did take Ovi and the Caps over to score in the Caps to win. But anyway.
Yo, I took Willie to score in the Caps to win.
There you go.
We all were on it last night.
But I will tell you, man, last night I was talking about how the Bell Center was so loud. Remember I put out a challenge to the fans?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of fans came to me and said, "We brought it last night, dude. We brought it tonight." And they absolutely did. I was sitting there talking to Ahmed, and I don't think we could hear each other sitting right next to each
That's
other.
That's awesome, man.
So it was outstanding, man, the way that they went. They were up 3-0, and you see the Canadiens score.
They got a little cheapy.
They got a little. Then all of a sudden, bam, the Caps say, no. Back off a little bit.
And LT down the stretch was phenomenal. Glove save he had late. So I
like how cool he go.
Right. Yo, I feel like hockey goalies always do that. When they snag one, they just act like it's no big deal and try to just be real nonchalant.
He was so smooth, man. Listen. I have absolutely enjoyed it, and now it's time to take that thing to another level.
Totally,
dude. That's all it is.
This run has been awesome, but it is very much just the beginning. Some of the stats last night. So I was at the game, and then I had to go to NBC to do all ears, which, yo.
Everybody kept asking me about you and saying, "Where's JP?" I said, "Ears." Yeah, he got some big ears. I said, "But he can't hear."
Yo, isn't it remarkable? Whenever I am somewhere, people just ask me where you are.
Yeah.
And it seems like somewhat vice versa.
That's like you and I.
People think we're, like, connected at the hip, dude.
That would be interesting.
I don't think I can keep up. But, yo, eventually we'll have to find this video. They made me try the Connerly challenge on all ears last night.
What's the Connerly challenge?
The new offensive lineman that jumps up off his knees.
Oh, Jeff can do that.
Yo, I am 43.
I watched Jeff do
that. I was not prepared for this. It was on live television. I didn't fall or anything, but it wasn't great.
Did you do it?
Kinda.
Jeff, show him what you got, Jeff. Jeff did it.
Jeff, we're in a parking lot. Don't make Jeff just jump around in
a parking
lot.
Man, Jeff showed me that the other day. I was wondering what the hell he was doing.
I'll get the video. We can look at that. But then, so I was home to watch the end of it, and I love my beautiful wife. She's a wonderful person. And she knew I was coming home. And luckily, there's been two Wednesday games, which really sucks for me because I had to tape the show and I love the show, so that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I end up missing the second period because I'm live on air. And I know I've timed it out enough because it happened the previous Wednesday that I'm getting home at the beginning of the third period. Uh-huh. And I have Walton on in the car. Like, I've got it down to a science now. I hear John, like, kind of get it ready for the beginning of the third period, usually a quick commercial break. I'm walking in the house. I'm on the porch, vodka in the cup, sitting down for Joby and Locker start of the third, right? My wife was really trying to be helpful last night. And she knew I wanted to watch the end of the game. I walked in.
She was on the phone with her sister in my chair, and I'm ready for Joe B and Locker, and Locker's back.
The damn.
Yeah. And I was like, I was shocked. I was like, who is this? The dude is clearly rooting for Montreal. I don't know if you spent any time on the ESPN feed.
You know what I think,
too?
I think some of them damn referees were rooting for Montreal last night, too.
I get that they're the bigger hockey market or whatever, but I spent 45 seconds on the ESPN feed before I realized it, and I kind of – I didn't yell, Brian, but I asked. I said, what are you doing? And she's like, what? I was like, you've got it on the ESPN feed. She's like, I don't even know what that means. She's like, I said Capitals game into the remote, and this is what it did. So we got to fix that, Xfinity. Like, go to the Monumental feed. I want Joe B. Locker.
Say Monumental.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing else on there Monumental.
But besides that, it was a perfect night.
Yeah.
I think, dude, so I checked out some stats on this last night. Joe B. finishing the game explained that was the first Caps home playoff clinch in 10 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't that seem unbelievable? They won a cup, which means they won four series, and all of them were on the road.
I think Rhino mentioned that on the show yesterday.
I think he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made me just think about, so Ovi breaks the record in Long Island. Obviously, they won the cup in Vegas. Like, it's just one of those weird coincidental things, but they seem to do all the big stuff on the road. Like, yeah. It's just kind of odd.
But you know what I say? I don't care where you do it as long as you do it, but you know what? It feels a little better at home.
You know what I say?
I'll take it on the road.
You know what I say?
What'd you say?
I said Caps in five, and the Caps won in five.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, don't get ahead of yourself. I got ahead of myself. I don't give a damn.
All right. Here, give me the next one.
Okay.
We need you calling them.
I think I'm going to. I'm going to wait a beat. I get to wait until I see the structure of the games, when they are.
Yeah.
We still are unclear when we'll know that because Toronto plays Ottawa tonight. Now, depending on which source you believe, my dude that works on the Caps ice crew, or Tarik El-Bashir. So you can pick your guy.
Uh-huh.
My dude that works on the Caps ice crew says we won't know. They can't set the series until both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference first round is over. And the Western Conference is going to go deep, man. The Western Conference, all four of the series are 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, at least two of those are going seven because those teams are battling.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching so much puck. Just leaving it on late night and staying up way too late. But regardless, like the East is just a different beast. Three of the four first-round series in the East are already closed
They're
out.
Done.
Florida closed out Tampa last night. Carolina closed out the Devils two nights ago. And obviously the Caps put away the Canadiens last night. So if Toronto can beat Ottawa tonight, then the whole East is closed. And then maybe we get to find out when Caps-Canes starts. If Toronto beats Ottawa tonight, today is Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think Caps Canes game one would be Sunday?
No.
When do you think it would be?
It's going to be next week sometime.
You think they'll wait? The whole East is closed. Tarik says they can start scheduling them as soon as the Eastern Conference is closed.
I really believe that they try to keep them all scheduled so nobody is playing like too much longer than the other, especially when they're looking at one East and West.
So you
they don't want to give nobody no advantage.
So you're on Caps Ice Crew vote.
Yeah, because you know what? Guess what one thing the Caps Ice Crew has to do? Always have the ice ready.
Yeah.
He might know a little something.
I
believe the field crews and the ice crews, they know a little more than most people.
Sure. So
it might not look like it, but they do.
I was very clear that I wanted the Caps to close this thing out last night because I didn't want Carolina to be getting extra rest and just chilling. They did their
Carolina's
exact job.
Where are they in? Raleigh?
Raleigh.
All right, cool. I'll be going to some games on the road.
Their stadium. Oh, yeah, because you can just go see the Grand Bay.
I got two kids. I can stay at their house. I don't need to get no hotel.
Can I stay there?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that Deshaun needs me coming in after work until.
Oh, they don't mind. Don't worry.
Do you think Deshaun would rather me come in after I had to work late or come in after I've been out with you late?
Yeah, I come in, but you know what? They have quiet doors, doors.
Yo, dude, the quiet garage doors change everything, man.
As long as Bryce don't get up, everything's cool.
All right, here we go. So I think the last time the Caps saw Carolina, it didn't go well towards the end of the season.
Nah.
Now, the end of the regular season, Washington was kind of discombobulated with the Ovi search. Then you had LT out, and you had Protas out. Protas back on the ice last night makes a big difference. In nothing else, that dude is a unit. 6'6", and then you put skates on him.
Dude, he's long.
Yo, I mean,
long.
He is huge, and I think getting him, getting some action last night before this next round is huge. And I think they are, they're not quite all the way back, but I think they're damn close to like 95%.
Well, last night, they it was as complete as you can get.
Yeah, dude.
They were rolling.
Getting Chytrin a goal they again. They were faster. Getting Willie a goal again.
They were faster. They were skating way faster, I think, than they've skated in any game in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And
the Wilson hit in game four changed.
Yeah, they utilized their size yesterday, too, because I'll tell you, listen, man, Caulfield, I didn't like Caulfield. Yeah. I didn't like the dude, but you know what? I have to give him total respect. That dude is miniature. But he is a bad dude on those skates, man. So you got to give a man his credit, but, you know, they got some big boys that they're making it happen for him.
What I said last night on Channel 4 before the game started, they were saying, oh, do you think this will get really physical, game five, you know, Montreal try to muck it up. And I was like, the best thing Washington could do is not get drawn into that because they are bigger and better. They're the one seed for a reason. Montreal's the eight seed for a reason. If they don't get caught up in the BS and just beat their ass.
Don't get caught up in the BS.
Belt to ass.
If they come in and want to get physical, that's your game.
Sure.
So, yes, welcome that.
But not the extra stuff.
Because I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to find a dude. I don't know how to pronounce his name, and I'm not going to even try. But as Ahmed said, the dude with
you know what they call him?
What's his name? It's X-H-E-K-A-J.
Yo, my guy right here, Arbor. I think that's pronounced like Hockjay.
Okay.
You know what? Hold on. You're going to die laughing at this.
What's that?
You know what his nickname is?
What?
Have you ever – you know when you, like, sign up for a new website and they suggest a password?
That's exactly what
I'm saying.
And it's
the wildest password in the world? They call him Wi-Fi because that looks like a suggested Wi-Fi password.
How you pronounce the dude's name? You say, man, it looked like one of those passwords that you get.
X-H-E-K-A-J. Yeah,
but he was trying his best to get somebody to do something. I don't know. I think I cursed him out more than I cursed anybody out in a hockey game in my life. He was standing next to us. I don't know if he heard me or not, but I call him more, you know, Father Duncan, as you say. Yeah. I was
so
killing him.
He's Canadian. He's from, like, the Toronto area. I'd love to know, like, what the background is of that name.
No, okay. That dude is not – that's not a Canadian name.
Hold on. So his father is – named Jack, which is kind of ironic when that's this dude's name. He's Albanian,
okay.
And his mom is from the Czech Republic. So that's how you land.
Okay, that's where that name came from.
Ex-Kaj. Right. So whatever, Montreal's toast. It's what we expected. They weren't as good as Washington. Washington moves forward. I think now this is going to be a much different series.
Yes.
I got some numbers this morning. Capitals and Canes played four times this year. The Canes went 2-1-1 against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They outscored them 14-10 in those four games.
Okay.
This is only the second time Carolina and Washington have met in the playoffs.
They did catch them at a time when it was like the Ovi chase. And I think they were playing different hockey. So I want to see them when they're playing the way they played last night. And then everybody's getting involved and see how things end up then.
So of the four games they played, go way back to November, which is...
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What is that now? 8 months ago or something? What are we, 5 months in, minus two, 7 months ago? Yeah. Dmitry Orlov scored twice in a 4-2 win for the Canes.
All right.
Keep that in mind, that Orlov's down there. Mm-hmm. It's a familiar name.
Used to be here?
Yep. December 20th, Caps win 3-1 at home. April 2nd, Canes win 5-1. And that was...
That was really in the chase.
Yeah. And then April 10th
was when
all the fights were. Got kind of out of control. And then April 10th, the Caps won the 5-4 shootout win. And that was when both those games were when Washington's scuffles kind of started. April 2nd was the game in Carolina. Protas's last game was April 4th. And then LT started missing time. April 10th was when they were in full OV chase mode. Yep. And they were just like out of their rhythm a little bit. I don't want to take too much away from four regular season meetings. This is going to be entirely different. The last time they faced off in the playoffs, though, was Caps are defending cup champs, and Carolina knocked them out in that first round. All right. You remember that?
Well,
in 2019.
We could give it back to them.
This, to me, feels like Washington owes Carolina an ass-kicking. Like, no. It just feels like it's time for Big Brother to remember beat them
Washington
up.
Owes themselves the opportunity to go out there and play their best hockey and let it fall where it may. Because I think when you do it that way, if you bring your absolute best, if they bring what they were doing year-round, I don't think Carolina could keep up with it.
I agree with that. All right, show plan for today. At 11 a.m., Doc Walker is going to join us. Rick, wants to come here.
You mean Methuselah?
See, Doc, you are welcome where we are. I'll text you the address should you want to drive
over.
They
got food, Doc.
They got serious food.
And I like the food.
Donnie, what all are we serving today? Ribs? I know that. Brisket?
Donnie been here since 3 o'clock. I don't know how the hell he's still standing.
That's crazy. I don't even know what that means.
Donnie, you're starting to look like which car right now? Mike Shanahan right now.
The Red Lobster?
Like the Red Lobster.
As Fred Smoot famously told him. All right. Doc Walker's going to join us at 11 at High Noon, smoking out, coking. Smoke, you're also welcome here should you like to come visit us. Peter Rosenberg at 1:30.
Peter, you're welcome too if you come from New York.
I don't know if Peter's going to make it. I also had a really great conversation with Jalen Lane, the Commander's fourth-round draft pick out of Virginia
Tech. You tell him I want to talk to him?
I didn't, but he's the type of young man.
I can't stand you.
Was I supposed to?
Yeah. Anytime you talk to a return man, you're supposed to tell him I won't talk to him.
Anytime I talk to a return man, I'm just supposed to tell them that you want to talk
especially
to them.
Especially one on Washington team.
Okay. All right. Noted.
Like, every time I talk to somebody that wants a writer or wanted to get somebody in the area to talk, I tell them about you.
Okay. Done.
What the hell? You got to scratch my back like I scratch yours.
I was unaware of this request. Consider it done. I you know what? I'll
you
text.
Never told me to do it. I just know it. That's just what some smart people do.
Brian,
I forgot, Jay.
I'm an idiot.
You lost a bunch of brain cells, you told me.
Those nitrous balloons. We were talking about it the other day. You know how many of those things I did?
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Because you want this to happen, I'm going to text the dude right now.
Don't worry.
Daniel.
Dan ain't going to tell him.
No, I'm telling him right. Dude, this dude will absolutely text him.
Dan Quinn going to tell him.
Hey, man, B. Mitch wants to talk to Jalen. Bang.
Dan already called me. You hooked that up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so I did one.
It's all good now.
All right, dude, the text is in.
Yes.
PR dude. honestly, there's a lot for us to discuss. I do want to run through the NBA playoffs because something happened last night that, frankly, I enjoyed. And I don't know. I'll let the basketball experts tell me how stupid I am. But, like, Luka doesn't play defense.
Man, an out-of-shape dude and an old man is not going to beat none of these new up-and-coming people.
So two things that are just tremendous from last night's adventure between the Lakers and the T-Wolves. One, I took the T-Wolves plus +6. I don't know how the whole world was like, oh, the Lakers are going to kick their ass. No, they're not. They're exhausted and don't have bigs. But whatever. For, I don't know, 6 weeks, 2 months, the whole world was saying how great the Lakers did getting this trade. Guess who was complaining about the front office last night?
LeBron. LeBron always complains when things don't work out.
I know.
He takes all the credit and he always points and give blame.
All right. We're just getting warmed up. We're going to talk RFK Stadium, Commanders draft picks. Certainly plenty of Caps hockey. Open these phone lines up a little later. It's B-Mitch and Finley live. T-Stats Employee Appreciation Day. Hey, nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. David Aldridge is a journalist, a columnist for The Athletic. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. An incredibly accomplished person, born, raised, resides in Washington, D.C., understands both through his professional career and also in his personal life, what the Redskins football team Commanders mean to this city. And David Aldridge joins us now. D.A., what's up, buddy?
What up, Dave? Gentlemen, what's happening? How are you?
We're good, brother. We're good.
We're good, man. You are of this city, sir. And B and I were talking this morning about everything going on with RFK. And we could talk about the draft and stuff, too. But I feel like the RFK conversation could be long and broad. So I'd rather just give it plenty of space. We were talking, and you texted us like, "Let's talk about this." So I saw you Monday at the events and the rollout for this thing. And where are you at? How do you feel?
Well, look, let's get the obvious things on the table first. We all are in the sports world, right? All of us are involved in sports. We either played it or we cover it or whatever. So we're all invested in the Commanders being in D.C., right? Like, we all want that. Everybody wants that. I want it too. You know, and I have no problem saying that out front. I'd much rather drive up to the RFK site than drive out to Landover 10 or 12 times a year. It's closer for me. It's easier for me. There's a traffic question, which we can get to later on. But, you know, so we all want that. But I think it is – I would say it's to automatically think that people who have questions are like hating and are trying to be in or grandstanding or not. I think is a little unfair. And I've gotten some of that from people because I've written about this the last couple of days who are saying that you're complaining about it or that you don't want this to happen or that you're standing in the way and what else has been there for the last 30 years. All of that aside, all of that, you can say all that, but I don't think you can just dismiss questions that people have about what is a massive public works project. Like, it's not, you're not building a Starbucks, okay? Like, it's not a Starbucks on the corner. It's 180 acres of land in the middle of a city. So there are questions, and people have the right to ask those questions. While you still want the project to happen, and I still want the project to happen, but there are questions, and I think part of what I believe the role of a journalist is, and that's my what I think I should be doing, is asking people like the mayor and Josh Harris, what are you going to do about the people that live in that neighborhood? You know, like, those are people. And their lives are going to be turned upside down if you drop a 65,000-seat stadium and a $3 billion development in the middle of their neighborhood. Ain't no neighborhoods around the wharf, fellas. Ain't no neighborhoods there. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So that's different. You can drop $2 billion in the wharf. You know, that's okay. There's nobody lives there. There's not a large population of people living in that part of D.C. There's some people live there. I used to live there myself. Lived there when I got out of college for several years. Liked it. There wasn't anything to buy. But there's not a whole bunch of neighborhoods right where the wharf is. There's a whole bunch of neighborhoods right where RFK is. So there are questions that have to be answered. And that's all I'm saying. And it's okay to want it. I want it too.
Mm-hmm.
But there are questions. And to say that there aren't any questions is not accurate.
But I understand that there are questions, Dave. But you know what? It's also some answers that are there that people will automatically ignore. So I understand, like, you know, I don't live there. But I used to go to the stadium all the time, and many people that were there before, they didn't have a problem with it. Now you got a lot of people that have moved in that are not from D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed up the amount of what a house may cost there.
For sure.
But I still go back to that the permission to the city. If Congress voted 100-0,
mm-hmm.
and they specified as that first project stadium,
yeah.
it's something about that. To me, that I'm not letting go, because I believe if they did it, they made a deal with someone. And I believe
right.
it's going to be enforced upon if it doesn't happen the other way.
Well, I agree with you in a sense. I do agree with you that there's no way that you would get Republican congressmen to sign off on something to empower the district government, because they can't stand the district government. If there wasn't some hoped upon quid pro quo in place, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I get that. That's certainly the case. Now, what that is, we don't know. Like, is that you want to name something after somebody? All right, you know, like, we can talk about that. You may not want to do it, but to get the thing done, you may have to do it, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Those are things. But to me, it's like, whatever Congress wants to do, or whatever reasoning Congress had to give the land back to D.C., it doesn't really matter, because now the land is in D.C.'s hands and they can do what they want to do with it. And they still have to answer, again, the issues that people are bringing up, whether it's the amount of money that D.C.'s putting into it, or the services or the things like that. It's not hating to say, wait a minute, you got to hold these people accountable for the promises they're making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just came back from Detroit. I was in Detroit last week for the Pistons-Knicks playoff game. And I was at the Little Caesars Arena there. It was a really nice building. It's been there for the last 7 or 8 years, where the Pistons play now. And so all the four major sports teams all play within half a mile of each other. You guys have been there. You know, Ford Field is there. And Comerica Park's across the street from Ford Field, and then right up the road from that is Little Caesars Arena, where the Pistons and the Red Wings play. And so on game nights, it's great. It's great. It's you know, 200 nights a year minimum between the baseball and the basketball and the hockey and the football. There's 200 nights a year, or 200 days a year, where there's something going on at one of those arenas, right? One of those three buildings, mm-hmm. something's going on. And it's great. You know, there's people in downtown, and they're spending money and all that sort of thing. But there's nothing else there. There's nothing else there. And part of what they promised the people of Detroit was, we're going to have all these jobs. We're going to have all these houses. We're going to have all this entertainment district here. And this place is going to pay for itself. And it ain't there. It's not there. And so, you know, and it's been several years since Little Caesars Arena opened. And it's been several years since Ford Field opened. It's been several years since Comerica Park opened. And people ain't gotten the jobs or the housing they were promised.
And so all I'm saying is,
well, DA, just
you have to make sure that people live up to the promises that they say they're going to keep. That's all.
I agree with that.
I agree with
wholeheartedly.
That.
And here's what I've tried to tell people that have acted like I'm not willing. Certainly, there's questions, and there are politicians that are actually interested in getting to a better deal. They're doing their job. I think some of them aren't interested in that. They're just interested in saying no. But I hear you on the Detroit thing. I think Detroit's got its own unique situation. Wouldn't you say that Nats Park is a tremendous success for the city? And they spent, they paid all the money to build that thing. It wasn't a large private investment.
And I have felt, and that's why I hold the Lerner family accountable for every move that they make, because they got a stadium for free. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say, okay, what are you doing to make this team better to win championships when the city paid for your stadium? And that's why I say that all the time when I write about the Nats. What are you doing? You got a stadium for free. Okay.
Right.
So that is exactly right. You know, and Nats Park certainly was a catalyst in that redevelopment. It was not the only catalyst. As I try to point out to people, Homeland Security being there was a much bigger catalyst, because they got 10,000 people in that building every day. Okay, 365, 24/7. There's 10,000 people in Homeland Security and the surrounding parts of that organization out there. So that was part of it too. You know, so that all of that, they work together. It's good to have synergy, right? And so that's why it's great. And I think it's you know, you have to have more than just a stadium at RFK. So if they're building out, you know, businesses and all that sort of thing, and restaurants and hotels, good, because you have to have more troughs. You have to have more buckets than just the stadium's going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stadium, they're going to be events at the stadium. By the way, ain't no way there's going to be 200 events a year at the stadium. That's a pipe dream. That's
so. I don't know how that number got twisted, because I mean, you and I were at the breakfast. They said 20 to 30 major events.
Well, they said up to 200. It's the paperwork.
I think that must
200.
Be.
It must be
when they have a kids.
They're talking about the kids events when they have the thing over there for the kids and all that. That in that area,
okay,
yes.
But that ain't in the stadium. That's not drawing no revenue, B. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You got to hold people accountable to what they said. And they said, we plan to have, our goal is to have up to 200 events a year at this complex. Now, if there's another part of the complex they're going to have these events at, they need to be
I think they need to specify that. But I tell you, like, when I did 7-on-7 over there, it was 80 teams, okay?
Yeah.
And that was one event. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you may have a lot of that stuff because the fields are not going anywhere.
Right. I get it. Now, if they're going to do another, if they're going to do more events over at the fields, and they're building this $89 million facility for cheerleaders and for indoor track and for volleyball and all those places where the kids don't have anywhere else to go, they have to go out into Maryland, Virginia to compete, that's great. And that will help as well, because that will bring more people into that part of town. And maybe they go to while their kids are at the event, or they're getting ready for the event, maybe they go get something to eat.
Well, and DA, one thing I'm thinking about, and this would not, to the people that this matters to, they would say it's a major event. And this matters to you. This is something near and dear to your heart.
Yep.
But the WCAC, the Washington Catholic Area Conference, they play their football championship every year in Annapolis.
Right.
God bless Navy Stadium. But bang, like that's at whatever RFK becomes. Like,
I think
there's a lot of, you're not getting 50,000 people to all of these things. But if you played last year, I just looked it up. Last year, the championship in the WCAC was DeMatha Good Counsel.
Right.
You're getting 8,000, 11,000 people down there.
I'm not. It's not about how many people you get there. You can get 40,000. Whatever the number is, this is the number. It's okay. It's okay if it's 8,000, by the way. I'm not saying you have to sell it out. I'm not saying that. You want to count that as an event? Great. That's fine. There's only 4 months to the football season. And most of the football games, most of those football weekends are going to be Commanders weekends or major college football. Army-Navy games are going to be there? Great. That would be awesome. Be awesome if you had the Army-Navy game there. But you only have 16 Saturdays or Sundays to play football during the football season. And half of those are going to be Commanders games. So you're only talking about 8 to 10 additional football games. It's just, all I'm saying is it's not going to be anywhere close to 200. Okay.
And that number of 200, I don't agree with that number of 200 in the actual stadium. I don't think any stadium does 200 events a year.
How many events do they have in Jerry World? It's not 200. I'm telling you, like, maybe
it might
it's 140.
Be 200
maybe.
In the whole complex,
know.
But it won't be 200 in that one stadium.
Right. That's all I'm saying. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
I'm with you there. Look, here's where I land. I've been pretty clear that I'm a supporter of this, right?
Yeah, me too. I want it to happen too, guys.
I think are there questions? Absolutely. Are there good people with the right? Like, I think this DC Councilor Parker. I thought he tweeted something out that he's like not quite a yes yet, but supports it and recognizes that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to rebuild this thing, but has some questions that he wants to walk through. Like, I think that is an entirely reasonable stance, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I think reasonable people can hear each other, listen to each other, and try to move forward towards something.
Yeah,
I just,
yeah. Well, that's
I think
the
there's a lot of people that
in.
Aren't being reasonable, probably on both sides, but certainly on the opposition side.
Well, I mean, I would say this. Look, Councilman Parker is Ward 5. That's where I grew up, Northeast D.C. So I know exactly. You know, that I know that ward because I grew up in that ward, all right? And he literally said, here are the things I need to get to yes. I need this, this, and this. And if you give me these three things, I say, I'll vote yes. I can support this. He literally tweeted it out.
Yeah.
So he didn't say no. He said, here's what I need, right?
Yeah.
Mendelsohn has not said, I will absolutely not support this under any circumstances. What he said was, the mayor needed to come to us first. She didn't come to us. She needs to be more transparent. I can't okay $1 billion. He didn't say, I can't okay no dollars. He said, I can't okay $1 billion, right? So there's a number. Find out what the number is, all right? And so that is negotiating. That's making the deal better, just like Linda Kropp made the Nats Park deal better by being a no until that money, the amount of money that MLB put toward the project went up and the amount of money that DC put toward the project went down. And that's what they're there for, is to make the deal better. That's what McDuffie said the other day. I'm going to try to make this deal better for the people in DC. You know, because again, look, I understand that Josh Harris does not have to solve the problems of a city. I'm not saying that that's his job. But what I'm saying is if you live in Ward 7, they have two grocery stores in the entire ward,
right?
Guys. Two. And Ward 8 has one, okay? And Ward 3, where the rich folks live in this town, and it's okay to be rich. It's fine to be rich. I'm happy you're rich. They got 11, okay? So those are the types of things. If you live in Ward 7, you're like, well, wait a minute. Why are we putting all this money toward a stadium that I can't afford to get into, right? That I can't buy a ticket for because it's personal seat licenses. No way I can get in the stadium. And, okay, maybe I can go to the restaurant down the street and eat, you know, but I live in Ward 7. You know,
but
they don't make the money that you make in Ward 3. So all I'm saying, guys, is that it's not disingenuous for somebody who lives in Ward 7 or Ward 8 to say, wait a minute, maybe there's other things we can spend this public money on than helping the Commanders build a stadium. That's not disingenuous for them to have that position.
I don't think it's
definitely
disingenuous,
not.
But then I would ask the question, where the hell have those people been spending this money before all this? I mean, they've had money to spend. And if they want to build it up, they would have. So I ask those questions too. Like
okay, but,
I hear
but,
a lot
but
of
me,
talk
you know
about
this.
Some, but I'm okay, saying but that like, someone
right,
is coming
ahead,
to do
ahead.
Something now.
Right.
And
okay.
Now we say, well, we could do this, this, and this. Why not? Why haven't it been done?
Okay. But again, Brian, the people who live in Ward 7 and Ward 8 don't have the political clout that the people who live in Ward 3 have. That's just reality.
DA, I hear
like,
that. But with,
you know
within
like,
six blocks of our office, there's a Harris
right.
Teeter and a Whole Foods. And none of that stuff was here before Nats Park.
Y'all are down at the Navy Yard.
None of that was here before Nats Park.
but they, I understand that. But it, again, it wasn't just Nats Park. And the where they built the wharf out, there's no people there. There's no neighborhood where they built the wharf. It's a wharf. It's not populated, surrounded by people who live in houses and apartments. Okay? There's no people there. It's easy to drop $2 billion where there's no people.
But okay? I specific to the grocery store thing, if they're building, like, I mean, the current plans, and obviously these plans will get updated and changed, but the current plans call for a ton of housing. They're gonna don't you? The way this stuff goes is it's mixed use retail. It's a grocery store on the first floor with apartments above it. Like, I think that will be a boon to the people that live there.
And, I hope that
Well, again, I just think as this pushes further east, maybe that will help Ward 8 also.
It could. I'm not saying it's. Not saying it couldn't. What I'm saying is, again, this is why I keep going back to the Detroit example. They made the exact same promises in Detroit. They said, we're going to have housing, and a good chunk of it is going to be affordable housing for people who make a certain percentage or lower of the average salary of Detroit. Now, I'm not accusing the people of D.C. of this, but what they did in Detroit was they part of how they determined what the average salary of the people was by including the rich suburbs right around outside the city. You have real well-to-do suburbs where people are making a lot more money. You add that into the mix, and all of a sudden the average salary goes way up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is that that's part of holding people accountable, guys. That's why I'm saying I'm for this deal, but you have to hold people accountable. To your point, JP, they said 5,000 to 6,000 houses and affordable housing, 30% of which is going to be affordable housing. You have to make sure that they actually do that.
Sure.
Right? And so that's why I'm like, that's where I need to see the details. How are you going to enforce this? How are you going to make sure that you do what you say you're going to do? That's not hating. That is trying to get people to live up to the promises that they're making on this. That's all.
DA, it's a great conversation.
I agree with that.
Thank you for reaching out. And, dude, accountability is key, obviously.
On both sides.
On all sides, yes.
Yeah.
And again, I want there to be a Commander Stadium on the RFK footprint. Want it very badly. Just for selfish purposes alone, for my own purposes, it would be a lot easier for me.
Okay. Thank you, DA.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Yep.
That's our guy, David Aldridge. Give him a follow at David Aldridge DC. I wanted to have that conversation. I feel like those are the appropriate types of conversations to actually move this thing forward, to continue onward. Now, when we return, we're actually going to talk some puck. Steve Wino's not going to blow us off like Rooster did. Game 5 preview.
Remember this song, B? I think this band was called Len. Is that right, Lanville?
I don't remember that.
Steal My Sunshine, right? L.A.T. It was kind of a banger when I was like high school, college-y. All right, one crazy thing just happened. We're live out at the Rude Employee Appreciation Day picnic. The barbecue has been served. Heavy Metal Chris has an astonishing amount of meat on his plate. Like, not that any of us are taking it easy on the meat, but Heavy Metal Chris loves meat. And we're right next to Andrews Air Force Base, or I guess it's now Joint Base Andrews, right?
Yeah.
And we heard this, like, and this, I mean, that's got to be a transport plane, right? I mean, that joint.
A C-17.
I don't know what that means. This is the biggest plane I've ever seen, and I swear it was 100 yards over our heads.
Yeah.
And it was banking to see it, like, turning like
that. Yeah, you got to go land, bro.
Hey, man, you got to land.
Yeah.
Speaking of land, let's go to Lane. Jalen Lane was the Commander's fourth-round pick, a wide receiver with serious speed, also punt return skills. I don't think he's just a straight nine-route guy. I think he can help you in the slot, running routes. You got to temper your expectations. I see some fans going nuts already. I had a great conversation with Jalen Lane. I think you're going to enjoy it. Really appreciate getting to talk to one of the newest Commanders, Jalen Lane. Jalen, thanks for making time for us, dude. What was it like getting that phone call, you know, finding out you're going to the NFL and you're going to play in Washington?
Yeah, man, it was amazing. You know, I was around
you know, my close family, close friends and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a call you always dream about. And, you know, you always think about, dang, what am I going to say? What are they going to say? Who's going to be calling me? But it's just like, you know, it's just one of those moments that you just try to cherish and, you know, just be in the moment for. And it was definitely one of the greatest experiences I've had.
I bet, man. I can only imagine. I'm curious. So you're from the Carolinas, and then you played college ball in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech. Now, none of that is D.C., right? But before the Panthers, there were a whole lot of Redskins fans down in the Carolinas. And the Hokie crowd certainly intersects with the Commanders crowd. Have you ever been a fan of the Burgundy and Gold, or do you have any family or friends?
I've never, like, growing up, I wasn't a fan, but I got a lot of family members that are friends. I mean, fans, and a lot of people in Blacksburg I know are Washington fans. So, yeah, I got a lot of support for sure.
That's great. That's great. And obviously, you return punts in college at a really good level. About 10 yards a return, is that right?
Yeah, things about right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good, dude. Is that a job you're excited for on the next level?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, punt returning, you know, I feel like it's a great asset that I bring to the table. And, you know, I'm ready to, you know, make some plays in that Burgundy and Gold.
I don't know if you saw the video. After they put the pick in and they got you, Commander Special Teams Coach Larry Izzo, they posted a video where he was very visibly fired up. He was very excited, I think. Did you and Izzo talk in this process at all? Do you know him?
I haven't met him yet. You know, I talked to obviously Coach Ingram, Coach Coleman, mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. But I haven't met him yet. I'm excited to meet him. And but, yeah, I'm glad he was excited to get me. That made me feel good.
How would you describe your game?
Yeah, I feel like I'm very versatile. You know, I'm, you know, a yards after the catch kind of guy. I'm also a vertical threat, I feel like. And, you know, I just feel like I'm a very dynamic and explosive. You know, get the ball in my hands. You know, the first man, I'm guaranteed to make him miss. And after that, you know, I'm going to get busy. So that's how I describe me.
Do you, as a receiver, do you like working out of the slot? Do you like being on the outside? Do you have a preference?
Honestly, both. Like, you know, Virginia Tech, I played mostly slot, but before I transferred there at Middle Tennessee, I played mostly outside. So, you know, I'm very comfortable at either, and, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, where I fit in the offense.
Well, I think a big part of why Washington, since Adam Peters has taken over the front office, they really seem to lean into athletic scores. Your athletic scores are just nuts. Frankly, I mean, a 40-inch vert with a 4.3 speed and the burst and the 10-yard and the shuttle, all of it is nuts. When, like, what age, how old were you when you realized, like, all right, I'm the best athlete in gym class, or I'm the best athlete in middle school? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I played baseball growing up, and, you know, I was always the fastest one on the team. You know, I always bat first. So I get on base and it's a steal. And then, you know, I get to high school. I was kind of smaller than everybody else. So I'm like, dang, I'm smaller than everybody. I got to be faster. So, you know, I started running track, got faster. And then probably by my, like, senior year, that's when I realized of high school, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a pretty good athlete. You know, I was kind of coming into my body finally a little bit. And, you know, I was just faster and is more explosive. So that's kind of when it set in for me.
When you were playing baseball, are we talking little league, like middle school, high school? What are we talking here?
I stopped playing when I got to high school. So I played that was the first sport I played at like 3-4 years old, like T-ball, and then up to like eighth grade.
So you're on the base path. Did you ever get thrown out trying to steal?
I'm not going to lie. I don't recall. I don't have any memories in my mind.
I can't imagine a seventh grade catcher can throw you out with the stuff you have.
Nah, I don't think so.
So you're listed at 5'10". I don't know if you take issue with that or if that sounds correct. Can you dunk?
Oh, yeah. You know, I can dunk all vert. Like, just standing there.
I figured you could. It's why I asked. I didn't want to set you up for a question there. But that's I'm 5'11 and definitely cannot, just for I got some years on you, though. Once upon a time, I could touch the rim, barely.
What's up?
Coming to town, rookie minicamps next week. What does that mean for you? What do you need?
I'm excited, you know, getting in town, you're familiar. You know, I've obviously been in the DMV area before. Virginia State, we played in the Military Bowl in 2023. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, seeing the area and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm excited to, you know, come in and, you know, meet the whole staff, you know, meet everybody else I'm coming in with and, you know, get to work. You know, you want to be coming into a great quarterback situation, and that's what you know, we got here in Washington. And, you know, it'd be cool to meet him, cool to meet the other guys, and I'm definitely excited.
I saw in an interview with Kay Adams, you said Terry McLaurin's one of your favorite receivers in the NFL. You were saying that before you knew you were coming here.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Terry at all?
No, I haven't. It'd be cool to meet him as well, obviously, but I'm excited to get to work, man. So,
well, and Debo's a South Carolina guy, right?
Yep.
Any relationship there? Or just excited to get to meet him.
I've met him before, and especially my dad. He's a high school football coach. He actually coached against him in high school.
Wow.
Debo went to Chapman and stuff like that. So, it's cool. You know, just having that South Carolina lineage and, you know, bringing that to DMV. So, it's just exciting, man. I'm excited.
I bet. My South Carolina lineage, I have an aunt and a bunch of cousins in North Myrtle Beach.
North Myrtle.
I like to go to this restaurant called Crab Catchers where they have fried corn. You ever had fried corn?
Yeah, I have. I love
it's
fried corn.
Banging.
Yeah.
Where did you go? Where does your pop coach?
He's coaching at Westside in Anderson right now.
And where did Debo go?
He went to Chapman. But when my pops, when he coached against him, he was at Woodrow. My pops, he's coached at about 5 different schools, I believe, just over the last 20 years. So, yeah.
What's it like to grow up with your dad as a football coach?
Honestly, I feel like it's a lot. It's been amazing. Obviously, like growing up, I was just immersed in the game at a young age, you know, being around him. You know, I remember – you know, just being with him in meetings. I'm like 6, 7 years old, not knowing really what's going on, but just being around the game. And, you know, he's coached me in high school, which, you know, looking back, I'm so glad he did, because he was easily the hardest coach I've ever had on me, just because, you know, he wanted to make sure that, you know, everything I got to earn, you know, people are going to say, you know, you're only getting targets because your dad's the coach, this and that. But, you know, he told me the other week, he said, you know, they definitely can't say that anymore. So... Yeah,
I think you've proven that false, certainly. Last thing, just, you know, Jaden Daniels, Terry, Debo, like, there's all this really cool – Zach Ertz, I don't know, you'll get to meet him. Have you – since you've been drafted, have you started watching this offense, or do they send you a playbook, any of that? Like, how do you start to immerse yourself in what Washington does?
It's funny, like, you know, I this past season – you know, this is like, you know, I always watch the NFL, but like last season, like I was really watching, like, you know, pretty much every Sunday, just because, you know, I'm like, this is where I'm, you know, in a year's time, I want to be on this field. And, you know, I probably watch the Commanders almost every week just because, you know, they're a really good team. You know, I want to watch really good teams and just seeing them play. And, they're sending me my iPad so I can go and get started and things like that. Nowhere hop on Zoom meetings and stuff. But, I'm just really excited, man. And, you know, excited to play in this offense, excited to play for this team and, you know, put on for the DMV, put on for Washington.
That's awesome, man. Hey, Jalen, thank you for the time, man. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And I'll introduce myself next week in person at rookie camp.
Let's do it. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Jalen. Take care, man.
You too.
Thank you to Jalen Lane for giving us some time. Impressive young man. Obviously, you got to see what happens on the field.
Yep.
Nobody knows anything yet, but you can't help but feel that the human that Peters and Quinn seek out, where you know, they earned everything. They're not scared of competition. I mean, Jalen Lane started, I believe, at Middle Tennessee State. Like, this was not a high-powered recruit that Virginia Tech got in. They had him transfer over, but it's a young man that has earned everything he's gotten.
And I think the thing about it, when you heard him say that his dad was a coach, and I think most people automatically assume, you're showing favoritism when your dad's a coach. Nah. Your dad is tougher on you than he is anybody else because he don't want anybody to say that. You know, so I think you got a guy who's going to be who's battle tested, who's earned his. You know, like you said, didn't start off there. He had to transfer over there. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, talking to him, and then watching him perform.
Hell yeah!
Podcasting isn't just evolving; it's having a full blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast: The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.